KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Thank you for joining us on this Monday. Pastor and author Clarence Washington Sr. is with us today. I should also say he is my friend. Pastor Washington, we had you on the radio, I think, when you first started the Hijack series.
Yes.
You wrote Hijacked, when How Dr. King's Dream Became a Nightmare, and that's now how many volumes? Six?
Six volumes, yes.
Six volumes. You put in a little work.
Yeah, it's been.
It's been fun, huh? Well, today we're going to talk about your book, Tools for Effective Prayer. It's a practical, encouraging guide to design. It's designed to help believers strengthen their daily prayer life. Pastor Washington, I'm going to start with this question. You say in your book, and the very first thing you say is, how much do we really know about prayer? Is that the right place for us to start?
Yeah, I think it really was, because in my 42 years as a believer, 37 of which was spent as a minister or as a pastor, I've witnessed the ineffective results of the prayers of so many people. And so I came to the conclusion that most believers know a lot less about how to pray effectively than they believe that they do. And so the first thing that I need to be done to help people pray more effectively is to get people to come out of the demonic darkness of denial, so that they will be open, ready, and willing to let go of their wrong ideas about prayer and ready to receive and put into action what Scripture says about how a believer must pray in order to be effective in this. And so really it came from experience that I thought, how much people really know about prayer, just in watching what was the results that people were getting from their prayer.
I can't help as you're talking. You're talking about spiritual matters. You're talking about a realm where principalities and powers. You talked about evil.
Mm-hmm.
In your Hijack series, you're talking about how evil has overcome the intent of, even if you take Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech, the mm-hmm. intent of that has been misused.
Yes.
And misinterpreted, and that's the enemy, right?
Yes.
Sticking his toe in the water. Well, I guess, do most of us not consider, like I always am interested to hear people pray, and many times I know that people are praying these very lofty prayers for the ears of everyone listening, but I'm not sure they're talking to God. And do most of us talk to God when we pray? I know when we're desperate, we do. But on a daily basis, or do we just kind of go through the motions?
I think that a lot of it is going through the motions, because people feel that's expected. But when it's during the tough times, I think that people are really serious. They're really praying to God. When times get tough, you know, I think that, yeah, there's a lot of maybe prayer for show, if you will. But I think that there's a lot of sincere prayers that go up.
Good, good. Well, I'm always encouraged when there's, you know, people are using this tool, and you call it a tool in your book, Tools for Effective Prayer, practical, encouraging guide to, encourage believers to strengthen their daily prayer life. You describe prayer as something that connects every part of Christian life. Can you explain that?
Well, I say that because it connects every part of Christian life, because how we live determines how we pray, and how we pray determines how we live. And so we see the two are interconnected. You can't separate our lifestyles from our prayer. And that's why I say that it concerns every part of a Christian life.
Let's add to that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by the mechanics of prayer? How do we actually begin to pray?
Well, the mechanics of prayer are those things that Scripture tells us that a person can do to make the contents of prayer. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, the disciples came to him and asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so he gave all of the things that should be included in our prayers. And so the mechanics of prayers are those things that Scripture tells us that a person can do to make the contents of prayer more effective. And so, in other words, mechanics of prayer are things that believers can do when we pray in order to help achieve those things that we can't do for ourselves, which is to pray to God for help. We need God's help. And so the mechanics of prayer are things that Scripture says that we can do to make our prayers more likely to be answered.
And can you give us some examples of those mechanics?
Well, the mechanics that mechanics of prayer. There's four. My list four. Really, there's five, but four. That the first four, and I use the acronym PUFS to remember. First is persistency, unity, fervency with expectancy, and specificity. And then when normal prayer doesn't work, when prayer by itself doesn't work, then I add in fasting.
Mm, and that could be the fifth one.
Yeah. But see, we aren't commanded to fast. Jesus said, when you fast, because he knew that there would be times and situations and circumstances in life that would drive us to fast or to drive us to want to seek a bigger portion of his presence. And so he said, when you fast, but we're not commanded to fast.
So I want to go over that acronym one more time, P-U-F-F, and you might...
No, P-U-F-S.
F-S.
P-U-F-S, yes.
But you might add an F on the end for five.
For fasting, yes.
Okay, so tell us those again. So P-U-F-S.
Persistency.
Persistency.
Unity. Fervency with expectancy.
Okay.
And specificity. Specificity.
I'm not going to try to say that 10 times mm-hmm. fast. So when you talk about fervency with expectancy, mm-hmm. I can't help but think that prayer has to include listening.
Yes, it does.
Because if you don't listen, you're not going to get the answer.
Well, that's one of the things I talk about. Quite a bit, as a matter of fact, about once you have prayed, then you need to spend some time listening for God to see what He wants to say to you, because anytime we pray, you know, God's going to give us an answer, because there may be some things that, for example, that we need to do in order to receive what we've asked for. In fact, you know, Scripture says that we ask, seek, and knock. And seeking has to do with preparing yourself for what you are asking of God.
You told me this a long time ago. You've been joining us on the radio program for, I think, 6 or 7 years. Mm-hmm. You told me that you ask, and sometimes you don't even know what to ask for. Mm-hmm. So you pray for God to show you mm-hmm. what to ask for. Mm-hmm. And then you ask, and then you seek. You go through a seeking process that allows you now to go back and ask with specificity, mm-hmm. which you said is one of the four things. Mm-hmm. So you didn't know what to pray for. Like, okay, God, I need you to show me where you want me to go to college. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a 17-year-old person, and you have no idea. You have no idea maybe even what you want to do for a career. So you begin a seeking process. Like, you go talk to the fire department. You go speak to somebody that's in banking. You go speak to somebody in ministry. And all of a sudden, you have a different vision. Maybe you're led toward going into ministry. You've mm-hmm. talked with Clarence Washington Sr., and he's told you about what it's been like to be a pastor for 30-plus years. Mm-hmm. And you were an engineer before that. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people don't know your history. I mean, you've done all kinds of different things in your life. And frankly, you came to ministry after going through a lot of stuff in your life, didn't you?
Yeah, after going through a...
So did God refine that vision, and you were able to ask, God, should I go do this now?
Well, you know, that was... I think that, you know, I didn't get... get saved until I was 42 years old.
Mm.
Okay, and so which was at toward the end of my
your secular career,
my engineering career, and so I was, you know, the difficult times that I had was what really drove me to the Lord, because as a young person, you know, my parents insisted that we go to Sunday school, go to church, and those kind of things. But then after I got to be an adult and did what I wanted to do, then I stopped doing that. But then after having those very difficult times in my life, then I was listening to a program with I can't remember the name of it now, but anyway, I listened to a TV program, and they gave a invitation to receive Christ, which I did, okay?
Mm.
And then I had a friend who invited me to church, and then lo and behold, you know, there I was where I should have been all the time, you know? So the Lord sought me out, you know, and then from that point, you know, it wasn't very long before that, then I became a minister and then a pastor and so forth, you know, because I've been in the kingdom for 42 years, but I've been in ministry for 37 years.
Right.
And so I have not spent much of my time out of the ministry.
We're with Clarence Washington Sr. He's was pastoring for many years. He's an author of a bunch of different books. Today we're talking about his book, Tools for Effective Prayer. You talk about decision points. Why is it important for believers to actively choose to grow in prayer?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because in order to pray effectively for spiritual protection, in order to have the abundant life that Christ wants us to have, that He died for us to have, then we have to be able to pray effectively for spiritual protection, because spiritual protection and an abundant living are, you can't have live the abundant life that Christ wants you to live without having spiritual protection, as obvious evidence from what Job went through. When the hedge of protection was taken away from Job, then the enemy was allowed to do what he wanted to do with them. And so you have to be able to pray effectively in order to you have to be able to pray effectively for spiritual protection in order to live the good life that people want to live. And so prayer is a must for that.
And so what do you mean by decision points in your book?
Okay, decision points. What I mean by decision points, there are like eight of them, and you can decide to continue on reading as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And this will take you through like 420 pages, I believe the book has quite a few, 400-something pages. Or you can skip over some things and then go to another section. And what this does, because with 420 pages on prayer, I go in depth and detail, as you know, because you've read it, I go in detail on subject matters. Well, you may not need all of those details in order to get the rudiments of prayer. And so this gives a person a chance to come back later and fill in more of the details, but to go ahead on and be able to use the basic principles of prayer.
I love it.
Okay, so you have a point. You have eight different points where you can either continue on. For example, there's a decision point before I deal with fasting. Because fasting, yeah, you know, you need to know what's all involved with fasting, but you don't need to know how to fast in order to pray effectively. And so you have a choice of either continuing on and read the fasting, or to skip over and go to the thing that comes after the talk about fasting.
I love it. As we're talking with Clarence Washington Sr. today, you can go to ClarenceWashingtonAuthor.com, ClarenceWashingtonAuthor.com, and look up all of the different books that he's authored. Tools for Effective Prayer is our focus today. And I want to remind everybody, we're going to give away two tickets to Sunday, April 19th. That's this next Sunday's performance of the Screwtape Letters, 3 o'clock p.m. at Pope Joy Hall. We're going to give it away during this hour. Call us if you have this answer. The primary author, well, C.S. Lewis, as you know, is the author of Screwtape Letters. Screwtape is a senior demonic being in the letter. And the whole story is about how Screwtape uses a junior demon to kind of mess up the lives of a believer, exactly what you were just describing, Pastor. And we want to give you two tickets to go to the play. It's going to be held at Popejoy Hall, Sunday, April 19th at 3 o'clock p.m. We'll take the first caller that can tell us the other two primary characters in that book. Besides Screwtape, there's two other primary characters. So call us at 505-338-5790. You'll talk to Rochelle, and if you can give her one of the other two characters, you'll win two tickets for next Sunday's performance. We'll be back on ABQ Connect right after these messages. Thanks for listening to ABQ Connect this afternoon. Jim Williams with you, and my good friend Clarence Washington Sr. is in studio. He's an author, former pastor, and has written a bunch of books. We're talking about his book today, Tools for Effective Prayer. But before we get to the rest of our interview, I said at the end of our first segment that we're going to give away two tickets to the Screwtape Letters, which will be at Popejoy Hall this Sunday, April 19th at 3 o'clock p.m. Still plenty of tickets available. But I have to tell everybody, Aisha Arona already called, right on the money with the primary characters. And just so you know, there's obviously Screwtape is a primary character. Then there's Wormwood, who is the junior demon that is in charge of influencing and taking away the patient, which is the man in the book that is being deceived by Wormwood. And we all kind of know the outcome when we listen to the enemy rather than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Things change. So that's why we're talking about prayer today. And Clarence Washington is going to tell us now. We're going to walk through the tools that you outlined. How about telling us the details about the persistency tool?
Well, the persistency tool is a very important tool because, as we know, as we look through Scripture, in so many cases, we see that, you know, the Lord has told us that if you can't be blessed if you don't persevere. So we know that perseverance is a very important doctrine of the Scripture, as a matter of fact. And so to receive the promises of God, you must persevere and be persistent in prayer. To receive the blessings needed, achieve goals you are working toward, or victory over hard to get rid of problems you struggle with, you must persevere and be persistent in prayer. And the moment that you stop praying, then some area of your life will stop being effective. A continual attitude of totally trusting and depending on God is what this persistence is about. And we know we've seen the parable of the persistent widow, I think it's called, and another parable about the friend, the persistent friend who keeps coming asking for something. And so we know that you must be persistent in order to receive what you have asked God for.
You also have to be a persistent listener, right?
Yes, and listening, it goes along with prayer.
When the Bible says that we should pray unceasingly, mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm asking the question right, but Pastor, as we're sitting here talking today, do you pray? Do you have in your mind, yes, God, like we were praying before the show started, Lord, prepare our listeners. Mm-hmm. Help us to listen to you as we share the tools for effective prayer.
And what that says when we should pray continually means that we should live our lives in the attitude of prayer, with the attitude of prayer. We should live our lives with the attitude that anytime there's something that I need to know in order to be all that God wants me to be, I'm going to ask him. And so, you know, I pray while I'm talking, Lord, help me to be powerful and effective in answering these questions so that as many people will be helped as possible. It's my inner spirit, okay, that's doing this, okay? So we should live in the attitude of prayer.
How many times as a pastor did you have people come to you in desperation and say, Pastor, we've tried this, let's say it's a financial problem. And they came to you and said, we tried both getting jobs. We tried saving money. And they name everything except they never prayed.
Mm-hmm. And my first question is always, when in counseling people or when they ask me a question, my very first question is, have you prayed about it? My whole congregation that I was over for will tell you that. That was the first question that Pastor West going to ask you is, did you pray about that yet? That's my very first question. Have you prayed about that yet? You know, and how long have you prayed about that? You know?
Do you believe God speaks to us with clear answers so we can understand?
Yes, he does. And he does in a lot of different ways. Many times he speaks to us through other people. He speaks to us, you know, he'll deposit things within your spirit. But many times he'll speak to you through other people, through maybe someone, a TV program you watch. There are various ways that he speaks to you.
I remember meeting you at Denny's a couple years ago. And during that time, I said, you know, I really need to pray about this. And you just said, okay, let's do it right now. Mm-hmm. And you prayed right in Denny's for me right then.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was, it's a powerful testimony when people see you praying.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also encouraging to the heart of the person that has asked for prayer.
Yes.
Talk to us about the unity tool. So we talked about the persistency tool. What's the unity tool?
The unity tool is being on one accord and praying in agreement with other people. And the unity tool is a powerful tool. A lot of people don't realize how powerful this unity tool is. But of all the tools, the unity tool, I think, I won't say it's the most effective one, but I'll just say that it is a great one.
I love it. This is the one that I'm most intrigued with, the fervency and expectancy tool, fervent prayer.
Yeah, fervency and expectancy. And, you know, we're told in Scripture, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't stifle or hinder the Spirit's work in your life in any way, and this includes prayer. Let the Spirit have its way with you in prayer. The reason why that's so important is that everything that we do is about giving glory to God. And so what the fervency expectancy tool, it shows our dependence on God and our faith in Him. And if you look at there's a scripture, that's Philippians 4:6, it says, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, or by prayer and supplication, says the New King James Version. That word supplication really tells a lot about how we should pray fervently. And according to William Hendricks, a renowned scholar, I'm not even sure he's with us anymore, but he says that that supplication is defined as the humble cry for the fulfillment of needs that are keenly felt. And so supplication is prayer that is motivated by a great lack of something, feeling intensely or deeply deprived of something, or a deep compassion about something. And so when you pray with fervency, you're praying like, Lord, I really need this. And so it means to pray with care of the men, or to pray with fervency. The things that you need for God must be keenly felt at the time that you are praying. Okay?
I love it.
And then this brings glory to God, because it lets Him know how greatly you are dependent upon Him. Because remember now, prayer is about bringing glory to God. That's what prayer is all about. And as human beings, you know, we think that...
It's not about God fulfilling our orders?
No. God fulfills our orders, as you put it, because He loves us. But the main purpose of prayer is to bring Him glory. And so when you pray with fervency, when you supplicate, when you let God experience your feelings about what you need and how badly you need Him, this expresses how much you're dependent on Him, how much you need Him. And so this brings great glory to him. So, and then with expectancy, you know, the word tells us that when we ask, we should not doubt. And so when we pray with expectancy, this also brings a great glory to God, because he knows that we believe that he is going to provide for us what we ask of him. And so we should pray not only with fervency, but praying with expecting to receive what we pray for. Because James tells us the men that doubt should not expect to receive anything from the Lord.
I love it. I love it. And again, it's almost like an act of worship. We're honoring God. We're telling God we believe that he can do what we're asking him to do. And I think you also have to have an air of thanks to him. Thanks, Lord, for even listening.
Yes, and that's we start out our prayer with that. But that fervency and expectancy is a powerful tool.
So we've talked about the persistency tool, the unity tool, bringing other people in to pray about something that you might need or want.
Yes, and let me just say one other thing about that unity tool, because I really didn't say as much as I really wanted to say about that unity tool. But that unity tool, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, and first Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8, and I'm going to do this quick so we move on to the next one. It says, 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. What that is telling us is that God disproportionately blesses the efforts of a unified group, because when it says if 5 of you will chase 100, and then it says 100 will chase 10,000, that says the more people that come together in unity to pray about something, that he disproportionately amplifies their prayers. Because really, if 5 can chase 100, then 100 should have only been able to chase 2,000. But instead it says 100 are able to chase 10,000. And so unity amplifies the prayers of a believer disproportionately. And so it leverages. If you look at a lever, we know that you have a lever, and then you have a fulcrum, and then you take this lever and you stick it underneath a rock, for example, and then you let it rest against the fulcrum, and then you put force on the other end, and so it causes a lever, because it amplifies your the distance between the rock and you. Divided by the distance between the rock and what you're trying to say prior to the ground, that's the amplification factor. And so we see that God leverages our prayers or other efforts when we come together with him in unity. But also there's a factor he leverages when there's disunity. He leverages the effects of our enemy against us, and that's what Deuteronomy tells us also. So it's not only, there's both the amplifying factor and there's the attenuating factor, and disharmony attenuates our efforts, attenuates the effectiveness of our prayer. And that's why the enemy is constantly trying to create disharmony among the saints, because he knows that just a little bit of disharmony will greatly attenuate the efforts of our prayers and other things that we do.
We're talking about Pastor Clarence Washington Sr. You're not a doctor yet, are you?
No.
Engineer, pastor, author, you got a lot on your plate, Pastor. Pastor Clarence Washington Sr., tools for effective prayer is what we're talking about. The first couple tools, actually the first three, persistency tool, unity tool, fervency and expectancy tool. We're going to be back to talk about the specificity tool and the fasting tool. We'll be back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us. Isn't it interesting, during the break, you just heard Skip Heitzig talking about pray should be the very first thing that we do, mm-hmm. about everything.
Yes.
And I think it's sometimes the last ditch effort to try to save something, and we haven't prayed.
Yes. There was an author said that Christ went more easily to the throne than people pray.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Amazing. Well, we're talking to Clarence Washington Sr. He's a former pastor and he's an author of many books. Tools for Effective Prayer is the one that we're talking about today. We've covered, he gave us an acronym, P-U, F as in Frank, S, and that stands for Persistency Tool, Unity Tool, Fervency and Expectancy Tool, and now we're going to talk about the Specificity Tool. That's S in the acronym. What's the Specificity Tool, and why is it important to be specific in our prayers to God?
Okay. Well, first of all, Specificity Tool is being thorough, detailed, and purposeful in what we say to God, because the basic purpose of prayer is to bring glory to God through what we say to Him. And so the words we use in our prayers should be an effective testimony of our total dependence on Him and our trust in Him. And this brings glory to Him. So we see that God receives glory from both our asking and His answering. And so we look at prayer as being all about us, but it's all about God. And so we need to be specific in expressing our dependency and trust on Him and our need of things from Him, because this brings great glory to Him.
You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about our worship leaders. People that write songs, they are very specific mm-hmm. about thanking God, mm-hmm. saying what their heart condition is, mm-hmm. what He's brought them out of. And you can't write a general song. Mm-hmm. They're writing about real stuff in multiple verses.
Yeah, and so we have to pray with the same kind of specificity in specifying our sins, for example, when we ask Him for forgiveness, being specific in words of thanksgiving and praise that we offer up to Him, as well as specific in what we ask of Him. Because we're bringing glory to God when we have the great specificity.
I love that. I do want to clarify, though, there are people right now that I think are well-intentioned, they're faithful, and they're dedicated, but they don't know what to pray.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you pray to the best of your ability. You pray with the tools that you have. However, it said, to whom much is given, much is expected. And so as Christian people, particularly in America, with all the books and Bibles that are available, we don't really have any excuse for not being able to pray with more specificity. Now, if you were in a third world country, didn't have any Bibles, didn't have any books, didn't have TV and radio, then your humble grunts would be accepted. Okay, but when you know better, you ought to do better. Mm. And when you're given to whom much is given, much is expected. So God expects a lot out of us because He's given us so much.
But I think a lot of us haven't taken advantage of the resources.
That's true.
Like I will tell you, I run into Christians all the time that say to me, yeah, I've read the Bible. I just know they haven't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've never taken advantage of absorbing themselves into God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you try to pray in the same way that you're not taking advantage of the tools you're describing today. And so the experience what God is able to say to you. You know, it's like God's probably already given you the answer right in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's, you know, one of the reasons why I think that I have really been excited about this book, Tools for Effective Prayer, because I know that it will help a lot of people, believers, realize what they should be doing if they're not doing it.
Mm.
A lot of people don't do better because they don't know any better.
Yes. And that's why we started off the whole segment with the question, what do we really know about prayer? Mm-hmm. And you're answering those questions. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and we're going to talk about the fasting tool. We just talked about the specificity tool. Fasting tool is kind of an add-on, but I know that fasting has become kind of a big deal when it comes to nutrition. And people don't think about it maybe in the spiritual terms should.
And you really can't call that fasting.
Well, but that's why I want to talk about it. Save that. Mm-hmm. We'll be back on ABQ Connect for a final segment with Clarence Washington Sr. Tools for Effective Prayer. We'll be right back.
ABQ Connect.
This Sunday, April 19th, the Screwtape Letters is going to be live on stage at Pope Joy Hall in Albuquerque, and Aisha Arona in our first segment today won two tickets. There's plenty of tickets left. Go to fpatheater.com, fpatheater.com, and you can pick up tickets to the Screwtape Letters. I've not seen the performance, but I have talked to a couple people that have, and they've enjoyed it. Of course, author of the Screwtape Letters is C.S. Lewis, and I think it'll be a fascinating, maybe encouraging to your faith kind of event. So think about that, fpatheater.com, Pope Joy Hall, Sunday, April 19th. Clarence Washington Sr., former pastor in studio, he is an author of many, many books. Tools for Effective Prayer is our focus today. We've talked about these tools so far. Persistency tool, the unity tool, the fervency and expectancy tool, the specificity tool, and now we're going to throw in a fifth called the fasting tool. So talk to us about the fasting tool.
Okay, well, first of all, the fasting tool, you only use it when your regular prayer has not procured an answer to your prayers. But comparing prayer alone to prayer accompanied by fasting, prayer alone is like feeding on the powerful presence of God. But prayer accompanied by fasting is like feasting on the powerful presence of God. And so when you exercise the discipline of prayer within the environment of fasting, God feeds you with his presence in a more powerful and effective way than he does when you exercise the discipline of prayer without the environment of fasting. And so when we pray, the spirit-to-spirit relationship we have with God is in the feeding mode. But when we pray and fast, our relationship with God is in the feasting or the gorging mode. And also, I should say about fasting that there must be a spiritual reason for denying yourself, your body of food when you call such action a fast. In other words, following a severe diet to lose weight is not fasting. Also, the spiritual reason for fasting must be an overwhelming reason or something that cannot be effectively dealt with by any other, by anything else other than prayer accompanied by fasting. If you look at Mark 9:25-20, Mark chapter 9, verses 25-29, when the disciples came to him and they asked him why they couldn't, drive a demon out of a man, the Lord told him that this must be done by prayer and fasting. And so you should have an overwhelming reason or something that cannot be effectively dealt with any way else when you fast. And the reason is that if you don't have that kind of an attitude, if you don't have an overwhelming reason, you won't have the right attitude to receive the effects of fasting.
We're going to move as quickly as we can. We've only got about 4 minutes left, so we're not going to be able to cover everything that I had put on our little list of topics. But let's talk now about content of prayer. Purity, praise, and power is your chapter 7.
Okay. Well. That doesn't include the content. That's another part of prayer. First, there is the mechanics of prayer. Then the dynamics of prayer, and that's what the section on purity, prayer, praise, and power is all about.
Okay, and so that's how our spiritual condition affects our prayers.
Yes, that shows the relationship between all the things that we do, in life and how they interrelate. You must become a house of purity before you can become a house of prayer. We know that Jesus cleansed the temple of the money changers, and he said that my house shall become a house of prayer. And so purity, prayer, praise, and power, I have an equation that relates all of these things, that relates the describe the progression and the dynamics of prayer, or the inner relationship of all aspects of our lives. You remember I said that that prayer affects how we live, and how we live affects how we pray. And so, and that equation that shows the relationship between purity, prayer, praise, and power is that purity plus prayer plus praise equals the power of God's presence. And so we see that all of these things, purity, prayer, and praise, determines the quality of the power of God's presence that we experience. And these things, you must become a house of purity before you become a house of prayer. And then once you become a house of prayer, the house of prayer becomes a house of praise, which then becomes a house of power. And the scripture tells us that as that the saints of God, that God inhabits or lives in the praises of the saints. And so as our praises goes up, the power comes down, and this is a continuous cycle. And so if you look at the books of 2 Chronicles chapters 19 and 20, this dynamic or the interrelationships of all the aspects of our lives, we see that in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, that that Jehoshaphat prayed. He called all the people, or commanded all the people to pray and to fast. And then after that, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we see all the ites came against him. And we know that's what happens when you start taking your life to a new higher level through purity or righteous living, that the enemy is going to come with you with new levels of temptations to try and destroy the ground that you gain. And so in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, after all the ites came against him, then after they experienced the nationwide revival and all the ites came against them, then he called the people of Israel to pray. And then as they prayed, one of the prophets told them that they shouldn't worry, because when they go out tomorrow, that God would be with them. And when they went out the next day to fight all the ites, then they put the praise team ahead of the army. They didn't put the people with bows and arrows and all the weapons. They put the praise team out ahead. And so we saw that. And then after that, after the praise team went out, that same day, the field was covered with the bodies of all the dead soldiers that had been slain. And so the 2 Chronicles chapters 19 and 20 shows this progression of purity, prayer, praise, and power, and how it's a continuous cycle. And so this helps us to realize that, again, how we live determines how we pray, and how we pray determines how we live.
I love it. Pastor Clarence Washington Sr. Has written a book called Tools for Effective Prayer. It's a complete structured guide to understanding and applying prayer in everyday life. We didn't get to talk about confession and forgiveness, spiritual protection and the armor of God. We didn't get to talk about the model for daily prayer, but you can pick up the book at clarencewashingtonauthor.com. Pastor, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.